Well, happy Friday, everyone. Happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate. And hey, TGIF, it is finally the weekend. And what a crazy, crazy week it has been. I mean, Times Person of the Week comes out and it's not a person. It's a freaking presidential ticket. They decide to overlook all of the first responders, all of the doctors and ER nurses who've been working so hard, and they give it to a political ticket. Okay, there you go. Plus, has the Hunter Biden thing blown up big time or what? And we got Chinese spies. I mean, we also still don't have a vaccine that's approved. There you go. You know, everyone in Canada's getting it. Everyone in Great Britain's getting it. But we can't get an American-made vaccine right here in America because government bureaucracy. We're going to talk all about that and so much more here in this hour. It is going to be a fast and furious show. But of course, we're going to begin by nixing the narrative. One of my favorite things to do after being a veteran in TV news for so many years, almost two decades, there is no one more qualified to nix the narrative than myself. And we're going to get right to it because you know what? The media, they only report facts, right? In fact, that's what CNN's anchor, Katie CNN, decided to wear yesterday, a little sweater that says facts first, because of course, facts matter so much to the media. We've seen that time and time again. I mean, let's go back and remember this great quote from NPR, you know, that media agency that said, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories. And we don't want to waste the listeners and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. That was them back in October when they refused to cover the Hunter Biden story. But oh, lo and behold, we're here in what, the second week of December, 2 weeks away from Christmas, and we find out that Hunter Biden has been under investigation by the FBI for more than 2 years. And where did we get the information from? Well, by golly, Miss Molly, we got it from the Biden campaign themselves. So why is it that Vice President Biden said this when he was questioned by media earlier in the year? Oh, okay, there you go. I got no response. It's another smear campaign, which is right up your alley. Except here's the problem. It evidently wasn't a smear campaign. It evidently was something that you were aware of, Vice President Biden. It's something your son, Hunter Biden, was aware of. It's something the FBI was aware of. It's something that absolutely everyone was aware of, right? But the media acted like it just didn't have any proof. I mean, check out this clip from CNN with Christine Onumanpour. It is a journalist's job, but the journalist says, I'm not going to do your job for you. There's no evidence, no evidence at all. That's what we're hearing. Now, we're hearing that everyone is saying there's no audio on the clips, which is crazy. So I won't play any more clips for you, which is terribly unfortunate because we had a whole bunch of them for you. But we're going to work that out with our system as, for whatever reason, they are not playing for anyone. But as you can see, the media did this time and time again. I was going to show you a video of how CNN and MSNBC, when they said it was all Russian collusion, they blamed Giuliani for getting information from freaking Russians. That's right. They said the information was all from the Russians. It was Russian interference. It was Russian collusion that came directly from Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani. Well, my, oh my, haven't they been vindicated now? It wasn't Russian collusion. It wasn't a Russian lie. It wasn't Russian interference. It wasn't any of that at all. Get this. When Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes had an opportunity to sit down with President Trump, this is what we found out. Leslie Stahl says, and you think You think it's a big issue to the campaign. They were talking about the Hunter Biden laptop. Donald Trump says, I think it's one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen, and you don't cover it. You want to talk about it. Well, Leslie says, well, that's because it can't be verified. Donald Trump says, you want to talk about insignificant things. And that's true. Leslie Stahl says, I'm telling you. Donald Trump goes, of course it can be verified. Excuse me, they found a laptop. Leslie, listen. And Leslie goes back with, no, it can't be verified. Oh, but it could be verified because the FBI was actually looking into that laptop and Hunter Biden for 2 freaking years. Now, I wonder what Nancy Pelosi's response to all this has been. I wonder. I was going to show you the clip where she said on many occasions, what about Russia? What about Russia? I mean, what does Putin have on Donald Trump? What have the Russians been doing with Don Jr.? What about Russia? What about Russia? What about Russia? Yet yesterday, when she was asked, do you have any issues with Swalwell? Any issues at all with Swalwell, Eric Swalwell? Any? She goes, no, I don't have any concerns at all. Now, for those of you who aren't paying attention, Eric Swalwell, by the way, a representative from California, really near my hometown in California, in the Dublin, Alameda County area, he evidently has been courting with a spy for 5 years. Yes, a spy named Fong Fong, who was just wrong, but evidently liked his dong. I don't know. That's what we're hearing. That he had some sort of relationship with a Russian spy and was on the intelligence committee. And Pelosi doesn't have an issue with that at all. In fact, she had the audacity to say, you know what my real issue is? I mean, Kevin McCarthy over there has members who believe in QAnon. You're right. It's far worse than having someone who was associated with a Russian spy since he was a city council member in the city of Dublin, California. You're right. Not a freaking big deal at all. Now, is it? No. No problems there whatsoever. I don't understand how this is happening. Plus, Swalwell, by the way, maybe some of you don't remember Swalwell. If you go, I was going to play the video for you, but have we figured that out yet, Spence? Working on it. Okay. Some of you may not remember Swalwell, but Swalwell was a part of Fartgate. Do you remember Fartgate? Yes. Swalwell was actually being interviewed by everyone's favorite Chris Matthews. That was sarcasm. And he was talking about how Don Jr. was obviously colluding and spying with the Ukrainians. And then he let one rip on national TV for everyone to hear. It was hilarious. He denied it. He goes on all the talk shows. He says, it was my phone buzzing. Somebody called me and it was buzzing on the table. It wasn't a fart. Well, I'm a 12-year-old boy and I'm going to say it was a freaking fart. Y'all know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. That is who Eric Swalwell is, my friends. He's the guy from Fartgate who spent the majority of his congressional career blaming Don Jr. and the Trump team for spying and colluding, when actually it was the Democrats who've been spying and colluding. When the poetic justice of it all, he's the one who was hanging out with a spy from China. How can that be? I don't really know. It is astounding. It is absolutely astounding to me. But the media is acting like all is good. The media is acting like, yeah, there's no problem. No problem at all. No problem at all. The media is acting like none of this matters. And they're just going to keep on going on with the Biden administration acting like none of it matters at all. How are they going to cover this? How are they going to cover it? How is Biden going to nominate an attorney general who's going to just ignore all of this? The media has put themselves in a huge problem here. They hated Donald Trump so much that they were willing to do anything. Rig elections, hide stories. Hello, we haven't even talked about Twitter. That's right. Jack Castaway Wilson, Jack over at Twitter, wouldn't even let that New York Post story run. He labeled it as fake freaking news. And newsflash, it wasn't. And if any journalist went on Twitter and actually said, no, 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 maybe we should look into this, they had to issue an apology to get their Twitter feed back. That's absolute insanity. Absolute and utter insanity. You understand that social media hid the truth from you. The national mainstream media hid the truth from you. The Biden family and the Biden campaign hid the truth from you. Now, I know there's some Democrats watching right now who get, Michelle, no one cares about what someone's son does. The son isn't running for president. Cool, 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 cool. You've been overly concerned, little Democrats, with Don Jr. and what he's done this whole time or has not done or just making up what he's done. That's why it matters, friends. Oh, hypocrisy sucks. And getting called out on it sucks even more. Are we able to take a commercial break here, Spence? All right, so hopefully we're going to have audio on this. Sorry about that hiccup for the first block, but we are going to talk about a lot more in the next block. It's going to be a minute, so give me a minute of your time. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about people coming after Trump supporters. We're going to talk about restaurants and gyms fighting back from all these stupid COVID restrictions that are not based in science. And we're going to talk about vaccine speculation and why history tells us maybe we shouldn't buy into this vaccine. So give me a minute. We'll be right back.
Vaccine will fight the sickness and all the bad germs, vanishes forever. Come on, be vaccinated. Vaccination will protect you from sickness.
I don't understand what vaccinate.
Oh, I've dated much worse guys than him. Much worse. I mean, at least he's famous.
I started by using the Match custom search filter. I filtered out joy, happiness, toilet paper, and reason.
Boom.
Most years I've dated are a little, I don't know, straightforward. I mean, there's a little misery, but nothing truly soul-crushing about them.
I just want to be remembered. You know, do you know the poem, The Road Less Traveled by Shakespeare? I actually have the tattoo of it.
Don't ask me where.
You devil.
Guilty. She gets me. That's the best part. When you meet someone that takes time to see beneath the surface.
Of the earth. It's just a perfect match.
So who's the super freak? Is it Satan in 2020 dating? No. Is it Swalwell? Well, maybe, maybe. Or is it the Michigan State Representative who decided to go on Twitter and say, oh, we're coming for you, Trump supporters? Or was it her? Now, have you seen this? Have you seen this video? It's crazy. This is an elected leader who said, let's go after Trump supporters. Do we have that, Spence? All right, let's watch this. It's crazy.
Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay.
Oh, my Atlanta, Georgia. Make them pay. Make them pay. Oh, you soldiers, you know how to do it. That is absolute insanity. Number one, if you're a freaking elected official, you should have more common sense than to just throw out threats like that. Now, let's get the whole story. There were pro-Trump people who were spewing some nasty, nasty stuff at her, which is inappropriate. We shouldn't spew nasty stuff to one another, right? But what's really wrong is when you then, as an elected official, say, I'm not going to rise above and be a better person and be the adult in the room, and you just go right back at it. She was pulled from her committee assignments as a result of that. That was a little papa, shame, shame. It was absolutely ridiculous. She should be punished far more severely. I don't know what's going up in Michigan and everything. It's absolute insanity. All right. I wanted to talk a little bit with you today about restaurant owners and gyms fighting back, because maybe you heard just a little while ago this morning, Governor Cuomo is now banning indoor dining effective on Monday. Indoor dining, bye-bye. Indoor dining and outdoor dining, bye-bye in California. People are just attacking freaking restaurants and gyms left and right. But some of them have finally figured out that freedom matters, that the Constitution matters, and they're starting to say, screw you, dictator politicians who are ultra elitist, acting like none of the rules apply to you. If the rules don't apply to you, gosh darn it, the rules aren't going to apply to me. So in my hometown of Danville, California, restaurants are fighting back. And in New Jersey, a gym owner is fighting back big time. Check out this video.
Danville restaurants have decided to reopen for outdoor dining, challenging the latest shutdown order.
Other than getting speeding tickets, this is the only thing that I've actually defied something in my life, is doing this. And it was scary.
And their customers are embracing it. Word spread fast. Brant Van Horn says he's happy to be enjoying a breakfast out again and hopes other restaurants will follow suit.
I say they should open up and we will support you. We will support you, and you know what? The county health department or whatever can just relax.
Why? Why do they want to continue to hurt us? Restaurant owner Bernadette Mufarich says the shutdown is unfair. She feels confident her customers and staff can stay safe. So Encontro Restaurante will be serving dinner outside.
It has not been proven to us to show that outdoor dining has caused an influx in COVID cases.
I just got off the phone with the Danville police chief. He says it's his job to enforce the health order. He says they'll be issuing citations with regret and concern.
Well, we've been in business since May. We open every single day. Governor Murphy has thrown everything he possibly could to shut us down. He has arrested my partner and I. He's given us over 60 citations, some of them criminal. He fines us $15,497.76 per day for every day that we're in operation. Our fines are totaling over $1.2 million, but every single day, Frank and I open our gym and no less than 500 people come and work out. We just passed the 83,000 visit mark with not a single case of COVID tracked back to the facility.
All right, that is huge, guys. Let's talk about the restaurants first in my hometown of Danville. Love that they are fighting back because they're saying, hey, there's no science here and we can't afford to stay closed anymore. We cannot afford for our livelihoods to be just put on hold. So they're fighting back. And we need so many more people to start fighting back. Look at that gym. That gym owner has been fined more than $1 million by their freaking governor in New Jersey, but they have not had one case of COVID tracked back to their gym. That's because there is no science backing up any of the nonsense that politicians are spewing out in an effort to control things. And in fact, it's not even really to control things. They want to destroy small business. They want to destroy communities so they can ask the Biden-Harris administration for more freaking cash. Everybody wants a bailout. Everybody wants to create monopoly money to bail everybody out, and they all think this is the way to do it, to make you dependent on the government, to take away all freedom, all will, all personal inspiration, all personal everything. These are just a few people in America who are fighting back. And we've got people watching all over America right now because we have people watching in Minnesota and in Washington and in Oregon and California and Louisiana and Texas and Vermont. And I need everyone to start fighting back. We can no longer live in fear of the big bad government. Otherwise, the big bad government is going to take over. And when the government takes over, it's never good. In fact, that brings me to my next point about the vaccine. So I've waffled back and forth on how it's kind of ridiculous that we've got a McRib in America before we have a vaccine. It's kind of silly. It's kind of silly that over in England, they've approved the Pfizer American vaccine and have already started injecting it in folks. They're doing that in Canada too. But the FDA is dragging its feet. You know, the FDA is a bureaucratic body and I absolutely hate it. And everybody wants this vaccine. I mean, they say they want it. They were really super angry that it happened during the Trump administration. They're really super angry that this is all because of Donald Trump, but they all want the vaccine so that we can get back to life. But they want us to trust the government that it's all going to be A-okay. That if you get injected with this thing, you're not going to die. There's not going to be any weird side effects, that you're going to be safe and it's just going to be fine. And the question is this, should we trust the FDA? Should we trust the government? Should we trust them at all? Because history tells us we shouldn't. And I'm talking about Tuskegee, Alabama. And if you don't know about Tuskegee, Alabama, we're going to watch a video right now that is going to open your eyes to one of the biggest, most disgusting parts of American history, where the government literally abused people for medical science.
What the United States government did was shameful, and I am sorry.
For 40 years, the U.S. government operated Public Health Service conducted what was known as the Tuskegee Syphilis Study, one of the darkest chapters in American history. And the study might have continued if not for a 1972 article from Associated Press reporter Gene Heller.
Everyone who knew about this, to my way of thinking, everyone who knew about this and didn't blow the whistle, that didn't shout to high heaven, this is wrong, is culpable.
Syphilis was considered a national health crisis in the early 20th century.
You don't know a thing about syphilis, except that you got it.
And many doctors at the time thought syphilis and other medical complications were affected by race. To study the disease, researchers found a population of poor, Black syphilitic sharecroppers in and around Tuskegee, Alabama during the Great Depression. Nearly 400 of the participants had syphilis, while another 200, the control group, did not. In the end, as many as 100 men died from complications related to untreated syphilis, and the message was very clear. Black deaths mattered.
Medical doctors deliberately let them die, wanted them to die, for what they could discover from their bodies.
It is literally one of the biggest stains in American history that we did that, not for a year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years, but for decades. So why now should we just blatantly trust the government and get this vaccine? And here's the other suspicious thing. According to an article in New Yorker magazine this week, doctors have claimed that we have had this COVID-19 vaccine since January 15th. Hold up. I didn't say March 15th. I didn't say June 15th. I said January 15th. In fact, they've been working on this vaccine for more than 17 years, because those who are in the know that COVID is just a form of SARS. It's SARS-2. And they've been working on a SARS vaccine since the SARS breakout of around 2002, 2003. So they've been working on this vaccine for a long time. And it's been available since January 15th. Has the media reported that once? Has there been any truth and transparency? No. So now you're going to tell me you're going to get this vaccine and it's just going to be A-okay? And I'm pro-vaccine, guys. I got my flu shot this year. I get my kids vaccinated. I'm not anti-vaccine. What I'm anti is fake news. What I'm anti is fake drama. What I'm anti is abusing people. And when we aren't truthful and we aren't transparent, and let's be real honest, the government never has been and neither has the media, I'm not going to do experiments on me or my kids. There better not be a repeat of Tuskegee. And just keep this in mind too, friends. Who do they say they want to give the vaccine to first? people of color. No, that doesn't reek of history one bit. Maybe the FDA should take its time, or maybe only the scaredy cats who live in fear of a cold virus should go get it. And don't come at me and say, people have died. I know people have died. I know people who've had it. I know people who died. But we are not responsible for every single person who gets sick. Neither is the government. Keep that in mind. All right, we still have a lot more Michelle Mortensen show to come. Guess what's coming up? My good friend David, the gay Republican, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about the LGBTQ community and the GOP. We are also going to be talking about, should we get rid of the party system altogether? Is it time for it to say bye-bye? Plus, did you know that there's a real-life Grinch? There is. Did you know that kangaroos want Sex in the City? That's true, too. And Pepsi, they want you to COVID and chill. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
Generation, girls are down and taste the thrill of the day and feel the Pepsi way. Taste the thrill of the day.
The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is a nonprofit organization based in Las Vegas, determined to meet the needs of any and every person who wants mobility and independence. Any child, teen, or adult who needs a wheelchair but can't afford one can get one today from the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation. The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is meeting the needs for those who need it most. And right now, the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation needs your help. With the holidays here, they want to bless everyone they can with wheelchairs for a better life. Partner with them today to make mobility dreams come true. Donate now at wheelchairfoundation.org or call 702-847-6250. That's 702-847-6250. With almost 10,000 wheelchairs delivered across the state, the Wheelchair Foundation delivers hope, mobility, and independence.
Want to learn to scuba dive? Need swimming lessons for your kids? Then you need to check out Stone Sports in Las Vegas, right off Fort Apache and Tropicana. At Stone Sports, they teach the young and the young at heart. Whether you're looking for fun, fitness, or competition, Stone Sports is the place for you and your entire family. Give them a call today at 702-779-3021, 702-779-3021, or check them out online at stonesports.net. Stone Sports, where water safety and water fun meet.
I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Will you come from an under?"
Yeah, we're going to go down under in the next block. Talk about that kangaroo. It's gone freaking crazy. Yeah, it's an interesting story. You're going to want to stick around. You're not going to want to miss that story, plus all the other great stories I have in my weekly segment, What the What? It's a good one. It's a good one. You're not going to want to miss it. Another good one, another good person who I've had the pleasure to know for about 2 to 3 years now. I don't know. I think we met when I was running for Congress is David. If you follow him on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Parler, you know him affectionately as the gay Republican. He does amazing videos with a lot of humor, and he is joining me as my special guest today on the show to talk about that and so much more. So let's welcome David to the show. David, so glad to have you here with me.
Hello, how are you?
I am hanging in there, my friend. We have not seen each other for, I guess it's been almost a year when you were out here in Vegas.
Yeah, right before COVID hit. I got back and like 2 weeks later, they shut everything down. And I was like, awesome.
It was a great trip and it was great connecting with you. Now, first and foremost, just tell everyone a little bit about what you do and the videos that you produce all over TikTok, Twitter, etc., YouTube.
I make a lot of content from covering any number of topics from all over the political spectrum, and I typically like to delve into intense sarcasm and humor and just ravaging the Democrats typically, but sometimes I like to be nice, just rare.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things I really have loved about all the content that you've put out is that as a member of the LGBTQ community, you've been a strong advocate for the GOP and conservatives. You have come out very, very loud and proud that actually conservatives have been some of your biggest supporters, biggest advocates, biggest friends, and particularly Christian conservatives. So you're really nixing the narrative there, which I love to do. We nix the narrative. that the LGBT community is not welcome in the GOP. Kind of tell me a little bit about that and what the experience has been like for you.
I have found since I started doing this that the meanest people to me have always been the Democrats. Republicans have always been, it's like, I feel like Republicans have always like just like not known how exciting and fantastic gay people are. So then I feel like they've just kind of like discovered us in a sense. And so like they like love me. They're like, oh my gosh, gay people are so much fun. And so gay Republicans have been so kind and so supportive of me at every step of the way. And the people who just fill my inbox with just rage and hatred. I have people who just send me crazy hate all the time because they're all nutty leftists. One of my friends who was in one of my videos like 2 years ago got a hate message in her private Instagram. We don't even know how they found her, just raging and telling her she's a bad person just for being friends with me because I'm like apparently oppressing gay people or something. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it's just insane the level of hatred I get from the Democrats and the level of love and support that I get from Republicans.
Now, I know during the 2020 election, I heard from a lot of friends in the LGBT community that they were actually too afraid to come out as Donald Trump supporters because they were going to be kicked out of their LGBT communities and friend circles if they did. How real is this backlash within the LGBT community?
I think the number one thing that the LGBT community says to me on a regular basis is that they don't own me. And I personally, if I was from the party of slavery, wouldn't talk about owning people, but they talk about it all the time. They don't accept me as part of the community anymore. They've kind of like cast me out. So your friends are like very wise to be concerned about that. But at the same time, like, they need to speak up. We need, like, because we doubled the amount of gay support for Donald Trump between 2016 and 2020. So we need a lot more conservative homosexuals to start speaking up, because right now we have very little representation within the media world. If I had a totally different set of views but had the same size following, I would be like an influencer and I would have all sorts of like brand deals. They'd want me on everything. But like, as a conservative, they want to hush me. They want to make sure that other gay people don't know that they can also be conservatives. So once we get to the point where more and more gay people start being like, you know what, I'm a conservative, and they start speaking out, that's when we're really going to get to the point where we can finally effectively pressure gay media into making our voices be heard too. So I would encourage your friends, if they're able, at least online, to start speaking up and joining the conversation in a productive way. But I really appreciate that they all did come out and vote, because again, we doubled our numbers.
Absolutely. So I wonder what you think about this. I read an article from Joe Concha last week. And in that article, it said the time has come maybe for a multi-party system, because we're already dealing with that. On the Democrat side, you've got the AOC squad, progressive liberals, and then whatever, you know, Nancy Pelosi wants to call herself. And on the Republican side, we've got the MAGA supporters and you've got the Republicans. We're already seeing a big divide. And I think what we're seeing right now, even in Georgia, where some MAGA supporters are like, I'm not even going to vote because, you know, those didn't count. And you've got hardcore, you know, regular Republicans saying like, no, 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 don't do that. Have we reached a place where we do need to blow up the system?
I think we're past that place. I absolutely think that we need at least four like political parties, like the ones you referenced, and then there's still going to be the Libertarian, the Green Party. I think we need to have like a lot of European countries do, where they have like a bunch of different parties and they create coalition governments if they have to. But like, I absolutely, like, at this point, like, why, what benefit are the moderate, like, rhino Republicans to actual conservatives? Like, what does Jeb Bush bring to the party? What do any of these people bring that we need? Like, we have all the supporters, we have the people, we have the grassroots. All they have are, like, the special interest in the donors, and, like, we'll be fine without them. Like, we beat them in 2016 without the donor class.
That's true. That's true. But I know for local elections, we absolutely need donors. That's where the big divide is. Where from a local election standpoint, it's very freaky to think, oh God, we're going to go with this parliamentary system. How on earth are you going to win as a libertarian? How on earth are you going to win as a member of the Green Party? Not that I'd want you to win if you were a part of the Green Party.
Right.
it's an interesting idea. Now, I know that you are in middle America right now. I won't say exactly what state you're in for your privacy.
I'm in Ohio. We're good with that one.
You're in Ohio. Okay, you're good with Ohio. Okay, so you're in Ohio right now. What has COVID been like over in Ohio?
What has COVID been like, or what has the government response to COVID been like? COVID has been like it has been everywhere else. It exists. It spreads no matter what you do, or doesn't spread, depending on just how illness is spread. We cannot control the spread of an illness. We're not gods. We're not special archangels or something. But we have a crazy governor who is the definition of a rhino, which is exactly the reason why I think we should be, like, as you said, potentially breaking up the parties. Because this man, who I will say I did not vote for in the primary because I knew he would be bad. I just had no idea he would be this bad. This man has, Mike DeWine, he has locked down the, he locked down the state before. Currently we have a curfew because apparently the corona only comes out at night or something like that. And he's going to be doing, he's now going to be extending the curfew because shockingly the curfew didn't work. Yes, it was never going to work, Mike DeWine. None of these things ever work. All they do is hurt people. They hurt businesses. They hurt liberty. Like, I don't understand why we don't do for this illness what we've done for every other illness, and that's just continue living. We need to continue living. Like, yeah, we can take precautions, and if you're at high risk, like, maybe play a little safer and whatnot, but we can't just shut down the country and have these lockdowns, like, destroying everything. A little while ago, an article came out that said, I think it was, like, about 50% of Ohio's businesses think that they might go out of business in the next couple months, and my mind is blown. Like, 50% of our small businesses might be going out of business. That should have been a wake-up call, like, hello, let's get a hold on this. But our governor doesn't care. All he cares about is case numbers. But case numbers don't even mean deaths. They don't even mean hospitalizations. They're just, like, people who are asymptomatic are a case number. So all he cares about is the case numbers, and he's dragging down the entire state's economy. He's, like, people are losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods, losing their homes. People are, like, poverty's through the roof, suicide's through the roof. Everything horrible in the world is through the roof. But thank God we're keeping those case numbers down, except for now we aren't, because the case numbers are rising despite the fact that he did all these things. And now he's like, well, I must have to do more. No, you have to do less.
Absolutely. No, I understand your frustration. All right, before I let you go, I definitely have to ask the comedian, what do you think about Eric Burkgate Swalwell and his spy bong bong?
A little jealous. It's not me, not gonna lie. I have a little bit of an attraction to the man. Every time he speaks, it goes down a little bit. But when he's not speaking, he's perfect.
He's a good-looking dude. I guess that's why the, you know, Bong Bong was like, yeah, I'll spy on that one.
Right. Pick me next, China.
Do not say that. You do not want a spy following you.
I'm kidding.
Same thing, naughty, naughty. All right, tell everyone where they can follow you, David.
You can follow me on TikTok at The Gay Republican, same on Parler, and then I'm Gay Republic Swag on Twitter, and one of those two on Instagram. I'm not really sure. And then you can go to my website, www.therealgayrepublican.com. I have merch. I'm saving up to move to Florida. So if you want to go support me.
Awesome. Really awesome. All right, David, it was great seeing you. Great talking to you. Thanks for being here with us show.
All right. You have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. You too. All right. There's still much more Michelle Mortensen show to come, including my favorite segment of the week. What the what? And it's a good one, y'all, because yes, we do have that kangaroo story that you're going to absolutely love. The Pepsi story, because Pepsi wants you to COVID and chill. And yes, there is a real life Grinch. It is unbelievable. So give me about 2 minutes and then we'll get right down to what the what.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
Wondering if now's the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com.
Ladylikeclothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. Ladylikeclothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at ladylikeclothing.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White-Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learned about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on The Michelle Mortensen Show.
Why am I playing Rapper's Delight? It's because I love Rapper's Delight. I mean, yeah, that's part of it. But also, because breakdancing is now an Olympic sport, y'all. And look at those guys. They got some core strength. I can't even do a cartwheel. And they are exhibiting amazing, amazing strength right there. And that is why in the next Olympics, which I believe are going to be in Paris, we're going to have Olympics breakdancing or breaking, as the kids call it. No, the kids don't call it that. That's what the Olympics wants to call it. It's going to be a sport. So you could grow up one day and get a gold medal in breakdancing. God knows. It's better than curling. And with that, we start our brand new segment called What the What? I mean, we did this 2 weeks ago. It was a hit. We're just going to keep on doing it. And we kick off with Pepsi. Pepsi wants you to COVID and chill. They say that you have just had a tough, tough year with COVID. So they have come up with their own spa kit. Bath bomb that's red, white, and blue included. If you use this, you're probably going to break out all over your body because Pepsi is mainly sugar. But enjoy that and chill out with Pepsi. No one in their right mind drinks Pepsi. It's nasty. Everyone knows Coke is where it's at. Speaking of crazy, a kangaroo went after a woman in Australia. I can't tell you about it. I've got the video so you can see it all for yourself.
To one rabid roo, Tracy Noonan was irresistible. It bounded out of a paddock and over a fence to knock her off her feet while she was jogging.
I think I was in a state of shock because it knocked me to the ground. And I was like, did that actually just happen? So then I sort of turned my head and it was just standing there staring at me.
One theory is that the kangaroo had become captivated by the scent of Tracy's perfume.
Sarah Jessica Parker perfume.
Won't be wearing that again.
No, never again.
Oh my God, that was serious. I didn't even know that Sarah Jessica Parker had a perfume, number one. But the fact that they think the kangaroo attacked her, and like he really did. They have the pictures. The kangaroo went and scratched her back. Crazy. She could not get rid of this kangaroo. And it loved her perfume. I mean, is that not insanity or what? And how to be the reporter who like asked those questions acting like this was a legit story. I don't know how they do it. But from kangaroos, we go to goats. because goats, my friend, actually really like to celebrate the holidays. And do you know how they like to celebrate the holidays? Well, they like to celebrate the holidays with Starbucks. Yeah, check this out. This is a goat in Tennessee enjoying a Starbucks festive holiday drink. Do you think it's the eggnog latte? No, that one's gross. Which one do you think it is? I don't really know. I don't really care. But I know everybody loves to see animals doing fun things. So, hey, we got a goat drinking some Starbucks. And from that, we move on to our next unreal story. And what the what? All right, y'all. The Grinch is very, very real. And he's out here to steal toys from needy children. Check this out. Watch closely. People are raising, getting toys for tots. There's the Grinch. Do you see him? He grabs a box of toys, goes on the run. Security guards everywhere. They're going to take him down. Cops style. There he is, Grinch on the ground. And that guy, he's out of here. Now, who in their right mind thought, I'm going to dress up like the Grinch and I'm going to steal toys from Toys for Tots with three police cars right there? Like, how big of an idiot are you? I mean, you're a pretty big idiot. The Grinch was smarter than that. The Grinch knew to get little Max and put reindeer antlers on him and do it at least at night when everyone was sleeping. This guy is the idiot of the week, but he's got some tough competition. And I know you've seen this, but I just can't ignore it. Freaking woke Santa wants to make kids cry. If you haven't seen it, watch.
No, no guns.
Nerf guns.
No, not even a Nerf gun. Nope. If your dad wants to get it for you, that's fine, but I can't bring it to you. What else would you like?
So Santa tells the kid he can't get his Nerf gun, makes Santa cry, that mom is a champ because she's holding the baby. She puts the baby down so she can comfort her son, who was just told by Santa, nope, nope, no Nerf gun. And then guess what? The mall was like, dang, we shouldn't have done that. That mall Santa was a real bad Santa. So another mall Santa came to the house and gave him the Nerf gun he actually wanted, which was totally the right thing to do. I'm not quite sure why there are so many woke Santas out there and woke people who want to tell people that a kid can't have a gun. I mean, literally, if a kid is going on Santa's lap and asks for a babysitter, baby sister, I mean, you go, oh, that would be lovely. I don't know if I can do that, but we sure will try. If a kid sits on your lap and says, you know, all I really want is a Barbie doll, you go, that's fine. When the kid sits on the lap and goes, I want the Barbie dream house, and you got mom in the corner going, no, no. When it's 1983 and you want a Cabbage Patch Kid doll and you ask Santa for it, Santa goes, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Even though everyone knows mom and dad cannot get that Cabbage Patch doll for anything at all. So I don't understand why woke Santa had to do that. I remember this when I was at Disneyland once, and we all know I love Disneyland, but we had a woke Santa there because my girls wanted to go sit on Santa's lap. And my girls affectionately call each other sissy. It's kind of a Southern thing. They're each other's sissy. They love sissy. And so I said something like, you know, oh, make room for sissy so she can sit down too. At the time, they were like 4 and 6. And that Santa got mad at me and told me I shouldn't use terms like sissy. It's derogatory. Listen up, Santa. I don't care. I don't care what you think. Neither do my kids care what you think. Elena of Avalor didn't have a problem. Goofy didn't have a problem. The three caballeros did not have a problem. But woke Santa in Disneyland did. Oh, yeah. It's true. All right, y'all, this has been a crazy show, but I hope that you have enjoyed it immensely. Next week, we are going to have another bang up show for you on Monday. So I don't want you to miss it one bit. We are going to be talking about the craziness that is going on in the Northwest, in Seattle, in Portland right now, and how it is coming to Vegas before you know it, or your hometown, wherever you live. Plus, keep in mind, through the rest of the month, we've got Ryan Weaver, country singer Ryan Weaver, coming back on the 18th. He's going to be doing Christmas songs with us and so much more. We also have Jeff Harmon, the political astrologer, for an entire hour on December 28th, and he will be taking your calls. It's going to be an amazing show. You are going to want to tune in for that one. Plus, major big news happening for the show starting in January. So stay tuned. Can't do this show without my very great producer, Spencer. Can't do the show without Danny helping us get on the radio just fine. And really, can't do the show without you. So please go to MichelleMortensen.com if you can and subscribe today. Your monthly support helps keep us on the air and keeps the show absolutely amazing. And as you know, every day we try to do a little bit of Christmas karaoke, although today Christmas karaoke just doesn't seem quite right now, does it? Seems a lot more appropriate to have Hanukkah karaoke. So we're ending the show with everyone's favorite song. It's the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler. It's better than Dreidel, 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 although Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel really does sing. I really like it. I know y'all know it from the Saturday Night Live day, so enjoy this one. Sing along, and I will see you on Monday.
Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah
to celebrate
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we get eight crazy nights. But when you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Leroy likes the menorah. So do James Conn, Kirk Douglas, and the weasel Pauly Shore. Guess who is together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Cody Hawes half too. Put them together, what a fine looking show! To the victim, the whole song, sing America. Catch you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. Bob Hewitt, put on that yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas, whoops, celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew, but guess who is Hall of Famer Rod Carew? He can burn it. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford is a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is Willie's dad, but guess who is? Oh,